Praise the Lord that I'm standing here today. I was thinking about that this morning. My voice isn't the greatest. Could I have some water up here? That'd be great. This week I was to the Cleveland Clinic, and it was like they gave me a release. I'm good to go. And I praise the Lord for it. You know, I had this wound in my leg that they made me keep coming back and coming back. Oh, we need to look at you again. And again, we got to get this wound healed up. That's what we're going to concentrate on. And it seemed like it wouldn't heal. I mean, it was a horrible wound. And it was one that was taken during my operation. And, you know, they cut a real deep slit in my leg. And then they pulled the vein out of there. That just didn't want to heal. And I did a lot of praying about it. And others prayed over me. Thank you. And this week I went in. They wanted to take a look at it again. And the practitioner looked at it. And she said, "Wow, what'd you do?" She said, "It's completely almost gone." And the Lord's healing hand. And I looked at her and I said, "Well," I said, "there is this ointment out there." And, you know, they were not thrilled about any herbs or ointment. And I didn't tell her the whole story, because if I would have told her that I squirted some horse powder on it, she would have probably fainted right in front of me. But I just said, "Well," I said, the finishing touch to it, I used an ointment called Dr. Christopher's Complete Bone and Tissue. She looked at me puzzled. "Doctor who?" I said, "Dr. Christopher." I said, "It was a wonderful thing. I put it on." And she said, "What's it made of?" Well, I said, "It's just a bunch of herbs and stuff." She said, "I got to look into that. I don't even know anything about that." But she said, "I'm glad it's healing." But I didn't tell her that Brother Jonas gave me some horse powder. And that stuff worked. Thank you, Jonas. It works on horses that run fast on racetracks. It can work on humans, too. You know, I'm talking a lot this morning about three words to consider. And, you know, this is something you've heard over and over. And I have heard it over and over. And I couldn't help but think of Peter, who said, "I want to stir up your pure minds." You've heard this before, but I want you to hear it again. And then in Deuteronomy 6, Moses, the writer of Deuteronomy, said, "Teach it to your children over and over, when you're laying down, when you're sitting down, when you're walking. Just keep teaching it." Because, you know, if we think, "Okay, I've taught it now, I'm not going to say it anymore," there's always new people coming in, new children coming in, growing up, new babes in Christ who've never heard the truth or heard a lot of these words. We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning. We need to continually teach the truth, no matter how often we think we've heard it. And the three words I'm thinking about this morning, and I'm thinking about 2024 laying before us, stretching out before us. What are some real important things that God is calling us to do in 2024? And there's three words that came to my mind: continue in prayer steadfastly, and then to watch, because his coming could be today or tomorrow. We know one thing: it's closer now than it's ever been. Just excuse my voice. My voice is so much better, even though it's got a croak. I was at a whisper last week. This week, I can at least croak. Praise God. Pray. Watch. Be thankful. And those words are found very simply in Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 2. And we as oldies in the oldie group, we together enjoyed memorizing that verse. It just simply says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I couldn't help but think of the many times that I've had people pray over me, prayer warriors. You know, and it's just like, I didn't think about praying, and here he is praying over me. There was one guy that I used to go to church with. You had to be careful what you'd say, because if you looked at him and says, you know, could you pray for me? I have this and this. And before I knew it, his arm was around me. He was praying right there on the spot, just intensely, fervent in prayer. And I just thought, Lord, help me to be that in 2024. If someone says, I need prayer, you don't have to wait until he's gone and you went home. No, you pray. If God gives that an opening, to pray right there on the spot. And when I think of fervent prayer, I think of the story in Acts chapter 12. It'll be probably in our Sunday school lesson here the next Sunday or two. But there was a knocking on the door, and it was continued knocking, and nobody seemed to hear it for a while. It was just continual knocking, and the reason why people didn't hear it right away was because they were all on their knees in the living room praying fervently for one of their leaders of the church who was imprisoned, and there was looked impossible that he would get out, and it looked impossible that he would not be killed by King Herod. King Herod was on a roll. He was out trying to stomp out Christianity and to stomp out the movement of the New Testament church. And so he decided he's going to grab one of the leaders of the church and make an example of him to stop this movement of Christianity, of Jesus being shared, Jesus who died and rose again. And the Jews didn't, so many of them didn't believe it and didn't want to hear the story. But not only Jews, it was also Gentiles and everybody didn't want to believe the story. Anyway, so here's Peter, bound in prison, and to make it really impossible, at least it seemed impossible, that he could ever get loose, there were two soldiers laying beside him, shackled to him. So if he'd make one little move, they'd wake up, and they wouldn't let him out. They would keep him from escaping. And here are these people in the living room praying with all their might, fervently. They prayed fervently, so much that they didn't hear this right away, the knocking on the door. But there was one alert. The Bible calls her a damsel, very alert. She heard it. And it's very interesting when you read that story, I'm going, would I have done that? She jumped up and ran to the door, and she looked, and she heard Peter's voice. She didn't open the door. Peter just said, can you open the door? It's Peter, it's me. And she was so, and the Bible says she recognized his voice immediately. And it totally stunned her, because she thought, he's in prison. So instead of opening the door and inviting him in, I'm thinking, would I have done that? Would I have been so excited that I would not have invited him in? She didn't even invite him in. She ran back to the living room, said, hey, you can't believe what's going on out there. Peter is standing outside the door. They all looked at her. No, no, no. That can't be right. He's in prison. And they went to the door, and they opened it, and there was Peter. And Peter just totally shocked them. Which, the story to me was so powerful when I was reading it, because of fervent prayer being done with the believers, God moved in a mighty way. He sent an angel that just floated in there, and nobody heard the angel. The guards were so fast asleep, touched Peter, and Peter just thought, this isn't real. This is just a dream. This is just a vision. And the angel said, get up. Come on, let's go. And when he got up, the chains fell off. And the guards never woke up. They never knew what was happening. And they walked out, the angel and Peter. And Peter's walking by the angel and thought, no, I'm still in prison. This isn't true, the Bible. The Bible says he still didn't believe it. And when he, but when the angel all of a sudden was gone, it was like he came to and he said, this is real. And he walked straight to the house where the little damsel Rhoda, the Bible says her name was Rhoda. Rhoda heard the knocking. Fervent prayer. What a powerful story. And have you experienced that from fervent prayer in your life? Well, you know what? Sometimes we do, and then we get carried away with life, and we forget about those moments when God came down in a powerful way and healed us or delivered us from something, and then we become lazy once again. Isn't that so much our human nature? We become lazy in our prayers. And Colossians, Paul is saying here, he's saying, let's not be, I'm giving you this encouragement that you be steadfast in prayer and that you would be alert and that you would be watching. Makes me think of one of my, when I was in school, I loved history. I loved study history. And one of my favorite generals, and I know a lot of you guys don't enjoy that kind of history where there was battles and things being fought, but one of my favorite generals was General Stonewall Jackson. The Bible said, not the Bible, the history book. Oh, I'm getting messed up here. The history book said that he was a very godly, religious man, and he was always studying the Bible and trying to figure out battle strategies. Now, I'm not here to lift up fighting. God forbid that we do that. But here was a man that studied Scripture, and from the Scriptures, he learned strategy from Old Testament battles. And he used that as he was a general. And the one battle that he did lead his men into was one that was very tricky. We would say he was just a very sly and very he knew how to maneuver his men. And what he did, he knew the Union Army was out there, and there were like 60,000 of them. He had like 17,000 men, but he was very slippery and tricky with his men. What they did, and he learned it from probably the Battle of Jehoshaphat, some of the other ones in the Old Testament. He sneaked behind the enemy lines, and he came from behind. And if you read stories about it, men were just in their tents, the Union men. Some of them were shaving. Some of them were just getting out of their pajamas. I don't know if they had pajamas. I think they had some of them had some kind of thermal underwear on, whatever. But they were still in that, and they were totally caught unaware. And here comes this army. Where were the sentries? Where were the watchmen? They weren't there. And God is calling us today to watch, to be watchmen, that we are not caught unaware, because he does say that he's coming back, and unless we are alert, some of us are going to miss it. It won't even be ready. But here these men were all in their tents. Some were drinking their coffee. Some were shaving. I mean, they were just doing their normal morning routine. And here comes this army crashing through the camp, just destroying the camp. And many, many men were destroyed. And it was all because nobody was watching. And they were caught off guard. Continue in prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The message today is very simple. Pray, watch, thanks. That's my message to you at River of Life and myself for 2024. That would be ever before us, to continue in prayer and to watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And there's the enemy constantly out there, just waiting to ambush if we let down our guard. And Proverbs says it so well. Give diligence to guard your heart, for out of it are the necessities of life. We need to guard our hearts. We need to be watching that the enemy would not ambush us and lead us away, because it's possible that we can be led away at a weak moment, and if we are not steadfast, and if we are not continuing in prayer, that can happen. Because Jesus said it so well when he walked in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there were his disciples sleeping away, and there he was struggling and anguishing with what lay before him, and he begged them to pray for him. And there they were sleeping. Is that where we are today? And he said some words that were very powerful. He said, pray and don't sleep, because that you enter not into temptation. And you know, the enemy has a hard time coming in when we're praying, when we're awake, and we're not just kind of shuffling along and nonchalant. Often we become lazy and we open the door for him to come in. But when we're praying, when we're alert, and when we're watching, he's not able to come in. Ephesians 6, it says, pray in the Spirit as an offensive weapon as we battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers of darkness, against rulers of evil all around us. Be sober, be vigilant, watch. Being steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Paul tells Christians to be watchful in prayer. What does that mean? What does that mean to be watchful in prayer? For what are the Christians to be watchful about in their prayers? We shared a little bit about it, but I went in some hermeneutics and looked at the Greek word for watchful in Colossians 4, verse 2. There's a Greek word there that says Gregorio, which means to be awake, to watch, to be alive. Ephesians also said, awake thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee life and light. Matthew 26, verse 40 and 41, we quoted that already, what Jesus said, and in his saying to the disciples to watch and to not fall asleep and fall in temptation. To be watchful, attentive, vigilant, to be circumspectly, not as wise, or not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, prayer is an awesome way to redeem the time. Taking every moment that you have to cry out to the Lord for the souls of men, and not only for your own life, but for the souls of men. I'll never forget Keith Daniel. I don't know how many of you guys know who Keith Daniel is. He was a man a number of years back. I know Tim would know him, and Leon would know him. He would come to Calvary Christian off and on and preached to us. And he was a man that was constantly in prayer. He was a man that was constantly in the Word of God. In fact, he was memorized. I think he had memorized a good part of the New Testament. And he'd be up there just scripture just pouring out of him. But I can remember him saying very vividly one of his messages. He said, one of my buddies, he said, who loves the Lord, and he wanted so much to do something for the Lord. The Lord said, if you want, and he was retired. He thought, what can I do with my time in my retirement? And the Lord told him, get on your knees and pray continuously and steadfastly for the church and for the lost souls of men. And Keith Daniel said he just went flat out on the floor, and he said, and he prayed continuously on the floor, prostrate before God, crying out that men would come to Christ. And that's the way they found him when he died, still on the floor praying. I'll never forget Keith. I thought, wow, that's really being steadfast and watching and persevering in prayer. Verse 36 in that same passage of, in Mark, it talks about Mark 34. It says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, at the cock crowing, or in the morning. And then in verse 36 he says, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And then in verse 37 he says it with like a real punctuation at the end. He says, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And that's how he ends the passage. The purpose of being watchful in prayer is to have our minds set on sober realities. As I was studying the hermeneutics of that word and some of the meanings, that our minds would be set on sober realities, whether present or future. A great example of this is when Jesus and his disciples were in the garden, and we discussed that already. It was a great example of Jesus persevering in prayer and watching and begging the disciples to watch with him. Luke 22. Let's just look at that a little bit. Might have time here to review that. 22 verse 39 through 36. Then he came out and went as he went. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. Now, this is Luke's version of Jesus in the garden. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And I just thought, Lord, if I could just get a grasp of that word earnestly in prayer. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. How's he going to find us when he returns? Are we going to be watching? Are we going to be waiting? Or are we going to be sleeping? And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray. And I think that message is still echoing to us today. Why do we sleep? Why are we careless? Why are we nonchalant in our prayer life? God is calling us to be steadfast today, to continue in prayer. Why sleep ye? rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The reason for us to be watchful and vigilant in prayer is because we can fall into temptation and we can lose. I want you to get this. We can lose focus on spiritual realities in our life and spiritual realities all around us. We can lose focus. And that's what happened to the disciples. They lost total focus, and we can do the same. Matthew 24:42 talks about watching, and we read some of that. It says, and as I looked at the hermeneutics on that, it says, means keep watch or be on the alert in relation to the Lord's second coming. The same concept is essentially there as Colossians 4:2. That same concept is there, and that's one reason why Paul is shouting out those three words to us today. Continue in prayer, watch, and be thankful. Watchful to our spiritual duties as Christians, not only in our prayers, but in our mentality. We are to have the following as examples listed here. Number one, therefore get your minds ready for action. Don't be like the Union soldiers all in their tents drinking their coffee and completely not ready for action. And because of that, they experience much disaster in their lives. Therefore, get your minds ready for action by being fully sober and set your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As 1 Peter 1:13 tells us, let me just return to that a little bit here, or quickly. 1 Peter 1:13, he says this. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be ready for action. Be sober and ready, ready to go when Christ appears to you or when he shows you what he wants you to do. Number two, now Peter again says, in 1 Peter 4:7, he says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The same message as Colossians 4:2. Now the end of all things draws near, therefore, for self. Therefore, be self-controlled, he's saying, and sober-minded for your prayers. Number three, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And that's Luke 21:34-36. Luke is very much a reflective of Colossians 4:2, when he says all these. He says, "Watch therefore and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Peter says the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things, which could, I'm not sure what all Peter's meaning is there, but you know what? It could very well mean that Peter was going to, knew he was soon going to be put to death. I don't know if that's why, but for us, the coming of Christ is near. Let's be watching and waiting. The scripture is clear. We are made for God and eternity. So being watchful is our duty, and the opposite is being slothful, careless, and lazy in our walk, in our prayer life. Ecclesiastes 3:11 talks about us being made for God and eternity. Also Colossians 1:15-16, it just reiterates that whole thought about us being made for God in eternity. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, and that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have preeminence. Prayer isn't merely about our desires. Certainly, some of it is, but prayer should be more attentive and kingdom-focused. And we see that in the Lord's Prayer. He starts out with kingdom focus and then goes to our needs and then ends again with kingdom focus. He says in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven, your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he says that's how we should pray. You know, I found it interesting looking at the different translations on Colossians 4, verse 2. It's just interesting the different words that come out. In the ESV, Colossians 4, 2, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. In the NIV, it says, devote yourselves. Devote. I have to think of that man who just went flat out on the floor and devoted himself in prayer, being watchful and thankful. And then the NASB says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Devote yourselves to prayer, stay alert in it with thanksgiving. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And God over and over uses Paul to give that message. He talks continually about us and to be thankful. He exhorts us, and then he usually ends out with, and be ye thankful. And the NLT says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. King James Version, we just will reiterate it again, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. In conclusion, I just have a number of points I wrote down. And this echoes Peter's message. The end of the age is near. So be watchful in 2024 and pray always that we can stand before the Son of Man. Number two, we pray in vigilance that we may not enter into temptation and sin. Peter says, be vigilant, because the enemy is out there. Do not let him come in by opening the door through slothfulness and laziness. And point three, we pray watchfully in anticipation of Jesus' second coming. We attentively pray that we would seek God's kingdom, His righteousness, and our needs, as we read in the Lord's Prayer. And the point number five, we pray to be delivered out of the bonds of Satan's attacks. You know, I'm just going to pause there a minute. God just brought to me a mind of a man that called me the other day, and I always thought he was a very diligent person. And, you know, I just thought, you know, he's going to always be that way. Somewhere along the line, the enemy got into his life and lured him away from the truth. Because one of the first things he said to me, he said, hi. He said, this is Jerry. He said, I would like for you to come to my house. But he said, I want you to know that I'm getting a divorce. I was in total shock. Jerry? Getting a divorce? You're kidding me. For us to think that we cannot be lured away, all it takes is to stop being vigilant, to stop, to ease off in the battle that is all around us all the time. And the enemy can come in like a flood. I know one day I was working and he called me and he was just bubbling over with things that God had done in his life. And so I knew that he was very sincere in his walk. And when he said that to me, I just thought, wow, Lord. And the Bible does say, Jesus said, if I do not shorten the time of my coming again, will there be any standing? Even the very elect among you will fall. Are you above that? No, none of us are. Paul says, for us not to have a haughty spirit, take heed lest we fall. Number five, we pray to be delivered out of the bonds of Satan's attacks. Number six, we pray diligently to have our sins forgiven, as Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer talks about, that we be forgiven of our debts. And number seven, we are to be watchful in prayer for mortification of sin, as Romans 8:12 through 13 says, mortification of our sin lest we die and fall away. And number eight, we pray for the souls of men that all could have their needs met and to be healed, and most of all, be saved from sin in our own lives, from the enemy and the enemy. You know, I was thinking about a thankful heart and how that intertwines with prayer and watching. And our Adam Clark said it this way, Adam Clark, the commentator, he says, being always grateful to God who has called you into such a wonderful state of salvation. You have been delivered. And for that reason, your heart should be so grateful. And as you pray, that just bubbles out in your prayers. Thanksgiving and grateful because He has delivered you. You are now His child. And you could cry out, Abba, Father, and know that He will hear you. Called you into such a state of salvation and affords you such an abundant means and opportunities. I thought that was interesting that He says, He has given you so many abundant means now that you are a child of God. There are so many opportunities. Just be grateful and respond to those opportunities that He brings to your life. Because of what He's done in your heart, how can you not help but be grateful and to pour out unto others that He would be glorified? Could we just conclude with a little chorus? Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. To keep your heart in tune. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. How will He find us in 2024? Sleeping, alive, awake, ready for action. God's blessing with you all. Thank you for putting up with my voice.